The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
All right, everybody. Welcome to our 9 o'clock hour, our final hour together today. It is Thursday, the 20th day of February. Democrat debate the morning after, and also a Trump rally the morning after in Phoenix. There was a wonderful moment as a 100-year-old World War II veteran was brought to a front row seat, literally carried by other folks there and celebrated by the president. It was just a magnificent, magnificent moment. And it's funny, the mood, and I know this is probably low-hanging fruit, kind of easy to pluck and consume, but you take a look at the mood of the Trump rally last night, filled with optimism, love of America, love of our veterans, a bright future, strong jobs, strong country. And then you walk into this Debbie Downer cesspool of the Democrat debate. We're all in hell. Our institutions are being assaulted. You know, the hatred runs amok. The planet's going to catch on fire because you have an SUV. Among the reasons why I have pretty strong confidence about November 3rd. Plenty of audio I haven't gotten to yet, but let's do some phone calls first. Folks have been waiting, so let's do a couple of those as we begin. 866-660-5759. We are in Fairview. Hi, Beverly. Welcome. Happy Thursday.
Hey, thanks so much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I feel a little bit bad. I felt like I kind of cheated on Trump by watching this Democrat rally yesterday.
It's quite all right.
I did. I felt bad. But anyways, I'm glad. I kind of wanted to see how that Bloomberg factor worked out, and I was pretty pleased to see that, you know, I don't think that he can pull off this Trump thing. He may have a lot of money, but I don't think he has that same kind of pizzazz and impact. But I was curious about what you were saying earlier, and maybe I'm not as familiar with him, but Pete Buttigieg, you know, out of all the Boltons that were on the stage today or yesterday, mm-hmm. I felt like he was the most articulate. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a lot of daggers in his side. And mm-hmm. I know that you had alluded to some things on a religious earlier. You mentioned some things, but from a first time really spending time, you know, looking at everybody on the stage, I felt like he was the most poised. Mm-hmm. I felt like he was the least efficient, to be honest with you. And gotcha. I just wanted to hear a little bit more about what you thought about him.
That is fascinating. And I think maybe you might be spurred by earlier I said that between Amy Klobuchar and Pete Buttigieg, that maybe neither of them is, quote, ready for prime time. Having consumed Pete, it might look to you like he seems quite good, like he absolutely is. That's called a really good first impression. So what I want you to do, and it's funny, you started out the call the way you did. You should watch to whatever degree you can. You can just DVR it and whatever you want to do. I think you ought to watch all the Democrat debates. I think you ought to watch a bunch of these people on the campaign trail so that you can evaluate a really big picture of what they bring to the table. Mayor Pete absolutely brings a communications gift, a campaign skill set, a kind of a younger, fresher image. He hasn't been around forever. And those are things that can be a plus. But after repeated exposure to Pete Buttigieg, it becomes clear that his skills are broad, but he's about a millimeter deep. He doesn't spend a lot of time talking about things that really have a lot of meat on the bone. It's all sizzle and very little steak. Let me offer some comparisons. And in fact, I think they're just about all going to be Democrats. Let's talk about some other politicians that come on the scene relatively young. All right. Think of Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, both in sort of their mid-40s. And now, obviously, Bill Clinton had been governor of a state. Barack Obama had been a U.S. senator from a state, but both for a relatively short amount of time. But it was really clear that there was substance to these guys. That's what made Clinton so instantly effective. It's what made Obama so instantly scary. I remember standing at the 2004 Democrat convention, the John Kerry convention in Boston, and Obama delivered the keynote address, and a bunch of us, largely hanging with other conservative talk show hosts, we looked at each other and said, uh-oh. And it was, and it wasn't just the smoothness of the oratory. He had something. Go back to JFK. I mean, just younger people. And let's throw a Republican in there. Ted Cruz, a man in his 40s who clearly has so much substance, not just a good ability to communicate stuff, but communicating things of substance and value to the intended audience. Mayor Pete, I just don't think he has a lot of that. And it's probably unfair to look at the resume and say, wow, dude, really? Just mayor of South Bend? Especially when the current president had no political experience at all. But look at the experience he did have. Look at the business career that he had. So it's probably a fair question to say, what has Mayor Pete really done? So you put all those things together. I have a lot of good things to say about his campaign skill set and the way he is. In fact, he has navigated with some skill the issue of his homosexuality. He doesn't beat us over the head with it, but nor does he try to run from it. And he said a number of times, I'm not trying to be president of gay America. I'm trying to be president of America, and I happen to be gay, which is a brilliant way to navigate what could be tricky waters in a general election. So the guy's got a lot going for him. But on a stage filled with people who have a lot of mojo and a lot of resumes of different types, it's hard to see a Mayor Pete breaking through and winning the nomination.
Well, I was happy to see it. I was happy to see the commentary afterwards because everybody said the same thing as you. And I was thinking, oh, okay, I must be really missing something here because I thought everybody else that looked like they were just struggling to get air. I don't know. It was great. I felt good about my decision about watching this thing last night.
No, and it's good.
It made me feel better about it.
No, it's good you did. And in fact, you were you are particularly astute because there were times, you know, there's Elizabeth Warren waving her arms and desperately, you know, clutching for airtime. Joe Biden just looking fairly bewildered at times. Bernie screaming at everyone. Bloomberg failing and in free fall. against that backdrop, Mayor Pete looked very cool, calm, collected. Yeah. How funny that a guy who is by far the youngest guy on the stage looked like the grown-up in the room. I think your observations were quite astute in that regard. But if you catch it, seriously, do me a favor, because it sounds like you're ready to become a student of this. Catch a lot of Mayor Pete. Find YouTube stuff of him. Every time any of these people are on, you know, interview shows or whatever, and obviously follow all of them because I'd be interested in your opinion of everybody. But see if, and it'll be interesting to see what happens to him on Super Tuesday. He'll either get a pretty big boost in some states or he'll be pretty well done. I don't know which it is, but get back in touch with me soon and see if after 3, 4, 5 more doses of Mayor Pete, not that you'll automatically come to me and go, oh, the guy's an empty suit. Not necessarily. I'm not dissing him or criticizing him, but there's sometimes a reason why the person with game show host skills may not be a guy who garners instant political success.
Right. Well, I'll do that. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. Appreciate Beverly, thank you. Appreciate it very much. And that sounds dismissive, and I don't mean it to be. When I say game show host skills, it means you can talk. It means you present well. It means you look good. It means you have poise. It means you are composed. I mean, all those things that you need. There are a lot of people. Listen, I'll give you somebody who had a good campaign skill set, had a good resume, and excuse me, because it's the Democrats, it matters. He's a black man. Cory Booker had to watch this debate last night and go, what? How am I not on this state? Double. Kamala Harris, she's black and a woman. She's got to be sitting at home going, what? So, speaking of which, while we're on stuff like this, my old-time buddy in Washington, a gentleman named Derek McGinty, Derek and I have rediscovered each other on Twitter. Derek's a Democrat, and I love him. And we go back and forth every once in a while with real and genuine affection, which doesn't happen nearly enough. And he said that he has a theory that one of the things that's keeping Mayor Pete from catching on more is the gayness. And I said, okay, I don't know that that's not the case, but how do you know that it is? And I actually invoked Cory Booker and Kamala Harris, and I said, is that racism or sexism that's the reason why they're gone? Or is it just kind of a simple explanation that sometimes people just like other people? Sometimes you're not the flavor of the month. Because by the way, this is the Democratic Party. You would think that having a gay candidate would be pretty close to a non-issue. Well, maybe it is an issue for some. It's impossible to know. It is impossible to know whether Mayor Pete's homosexuality is a hindrance to him. Heck, for some people, it might be a plus to him. It is absolutely impossible to know. You'd have to have somebody with exactly the same resume and skill set as Mayor Pete and have him be heterosexual and see how that guy does. I mean, there are a lot of other things that might be Mayor Pete's ceiling. The thin resume, the glibness without a whole lot of necessary substance behind it. I don't know. But that's because I have no idea. So, all right, 9:20, Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The Answer. We are in Garland. Hey, Ron. Mark Davis, happy Thursday. Hey. How are you?
Great.
Hey.
Hey, listen, what I took away from the debate was that we're all going to die in 5 years.
Exactly. You know, speaking of Mayor Pete, he actually tweeted all of these policy things that we have in mind for the coming generations or the next 10 years. None of them will matter if we don't get a handle on climate. What a joke. Go ahead.
Well, it really is a joke. Do you know what the biggest factor to our climate change is?
Well, there are plenty of natural planetary systems that affect it far more than anything man does.
Well, no, the biggest factor is actually the sun. We are exiting a 20-year period of excessive solar activity.
Yep.
And we're now entering a 20-year period of decreased solar activity. So we're actually going to go into a cooling trend in the next 10 or 15 years.
We might. Things tend to run in things on every single planet. The one we know of our own, we're aware of some where we're able to catch for a little while at least a notion of the climate on Mars. There are cycles. The Martian polar ice caps have grown and constricted, as have our own. Things happen in cycles. We have, in the 1970s, there was concern about whether portions of the world would be able to grow enough food because of global cooling. Are we standing at the brink of another ice age? And that was in the 70s, after we'd been belching stuff into the air for nearly a century post-industrial revolution, and the planet cooled down. So if at any given moment, and Ron, thank you enormously. I should probably put this on an endless loop. You ready? Here's climate 101. Ready? Here we go. Planetary temperatures will rise and they will fall, even if there were no human beings anywhere. Dinosaurs still around. Planet will get warmer. Planet will get cooler. Now, is it possible to know whether human productivity has any effect on this? No. Is there reason to believe that it really does not? Yes, as I just explained with the global cooling of the 70s. Ultimately, what's at play here is a logical flaw called post hoc ergo propter hoc, which is Latin for just because something followed something doesn't mean it was caused by the first thing. Just because B follows A doesn't mean that A caused B. Correlation and causation. You hear those terms from time to time. So, in other words, if the planet does have a little uptick in temperature, let's say for the sake of argument that it does and that it has at times, does that automatically mean that it was because of human productivity? No. There. no charge. 923, Mark Davis, 660 AM, the answer.
Love stinks.
Love stinks.
I've been through diamonds.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been through minks.
Love
I've been through it all.
Yeah, yeah.
Love stinks.
Love stinks.
Greatness and an entire song, an entire album title by the J. Geils Band.
Love
on what would have been founding member Jay Giles' 73rd birthday. 866-660-5759. We're in Dallas. Lee, hi, Mark Davis. Welcome. How are you?
Hey. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi.
Hey, I've got one quick question and one quick comment for you.
Ready.
My question is this. Regarding your deep dive on the analysis of the substance of Pete Buttigieg,
yes.
I noticed you brought up other Democrats and even you brought in Ted Cruz. I just need you to take 20 seconds to give me one policy, one topic that President Trump is substantive
on,
that he spoke about.
I'll give you other than what?
Other than calling people names, outrageous.
Oh, dude. Okay, well, I can help you out right now. Here we go. Here, this is why he won. Not just because of style or Celebrity Apprentice or anything like that. He said, I'm going to strengthen the borders, and he did. I'm going to strengthen the economy, and as he did. I'm going to put people on the Supreme Court who will obey the Constitution, and he did. I'm going to get more serious about who comes into the country with vetting of people from other countries, and he did. I'm going to deregulate things that are overregulated, and he did. How much more do you need?
That was largely in point of the team that he has around him, but specifically regarding speaking, substantive points, in-depth of a knowledge that he has, I have not seen that. So we'll agree to disagree on that.
I just told you specific substantive
but
things.
Substantive
is not defined by you agreeing with it. I just identified Clinton and Obama as being substantive candidates because they brought real policies that resonated with a lot of voters. Those voters were Democrats. I've just shared with you specific things that resonated with a lot of conservatives and even some things that resonated across party lines. Sentencing reform, the First Step Act, these are things that are appealing to a lot of them. They're absolutely substantive. Things do not lack substance just because you disagree with them. Give me back anytime. 866-660-5759-931. Into the newsroom, Gordon Griffin.
Have you ever seen a squawk's tears? Well, look at mine. The people on the street have all seen better times.
On Walter Becker's birthday, I'm having a great time.
Any major dude with half a heart surely will tell you my
digging
friend.
Deep into my love of Steely Dan.
Any minor world that breaks apart falls together again.
From Pretzel Logic, 1974. The album where you find Ricky Don't Lose That Number. You also find this.
Any major dude will tell you. Any major dude will tell you.
Walter Becker would have been 70 today. He and Donald Fagen, of course, the creative force behind Steely Dan. All righty, creative force behind this show is at least half you, so let's do some phone calls, 866-660-5759. And then I've got a couple of things I haven't gotten to yet where Elizabeth Warren just puts Bloomberg on the mat about these non-disclosure agreements. It was that... Anytime somebody is in the midst of some type of ascendancy and you're trying to ask, is this candidate going to fare well? Is it going to be a tough ride? Is how they deal with some tough spots maybe an indicator of that? And this did not go well for Bloomberg. I will share here in a moment. Right now, though, we are in Stephenville. Hi, Muriel. Mark Davis, how are you?
Hi, Mark. I'm doing great. I just want to tell you, I found 660 kind of by accident one day because it was listening to another talk radio station and it was just getting to where all I was doing was getting really mad. So anyway, I had to turn it off or the blood pressure was just not going to be good. So anyway, I was flipping stations and it kind of scanned and you popped up.
I'm so glad.
And I found this station. And I tell you what, I love your show because it's very positive. Even when had that caller on there a few minutes ago that wasn't very happy. You dealt with it in such a way where it wasn't a screaming match.
You are the sweetest thing in the world. Thank you.
Well, I just want to tell you that. And you were talking about the move to the Trump rallies. Mm-hmm. Well, I went to the one in Dallas, you know, a few months ago, and stood in line for like 6 hours. And we made it to about 5 feet before the doors got, you know, locked by the fire marshal. But the move there, it was tremendous. People weren't standing around bashing Democrats or anything else.
No.
They were just happy to be there. They were happy with how things were going in this country. And, you know, we get, a lot of times conservatives get portrayed as, you know, all these haters and all this other stuff. And it's like, you know, it's nice to be happy. There's nothing wrong with being happy and being positive about the way things are. There's so much negativity in the world. Why have that, you know?
Exactly.
And I just want to say thank you for how you do your show. I appreciate it. And I am a faithful listener now. Too much.
You're gonna make me cry. And I may not be kidding. I cannot thank you enough, Muriel, not just for your kindness, but you've touched on the things that are so incredibly important and largely misunderstood about Trump's appeal, among other things. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Ryan Lizza had this piece a couple of weeks ago, writes for Politico. And the last time he was at a Trump rally was, I guess, 2016, and it kind of freaked him out. Imagine that. So he decided, I'm going back. I'm going to a Trump rally. And he literally wrote, I can't believe the joy in that room. It is far from people just railing against terrible. I mean, even when the president slaps the media around or talks about some rival or something like that, he is so upbeat. And the people who come to see him and show their love for him, and I do mean love for him, are filled with joy and optimism and an upbeat attitude. And I think that is a winning burst of wind in our sails for 2020, because the maybe a frequently misunderstood thing. People think that the president and his followers are just filled with such bitterness and sourness and are attacking people all the time. President Trump is having the time of his life. And you know who else is? Me. And maybe you along with me, because we've been through presidents that we voted for, presidents we didn't. Presidents that we really loved, like Reagan, presidents that we enjoyed most of in terms of policies, like both Bushes, and have a huge respect for them as people. But was either of those presidencies as conservative as like I wanted them to be? Nope. And so what do we have now? What do we have now after what's like a long walk through the desert of two terms of Clinton and two terms of Obama? I feel like I am drinking deep from the sweetest water at the sweetest oasis I've ever found. The Constitution respected again. Our military and law enforcement respected again. Stupid things being undone like the Paris Climate Accords. Vast amounts of overregulation and the Iran nuclear deal. Attention being paid to who gets into our country. Attention being paid to what is smart for a job-creating economy. I'm happy every day. And that's why, and it's funny, if you listen to the dominant media culture or the Hollywood culture or university culture, oh, we are in the ninth level of hell. America is so troubled and everybody is so mean and nasty. Now, listen, are there some sharp elbows on Facebook and et cetera, et cetera? Yeah. Most of those are people on the left or people who are Trump haters who can't handle the way things are going. But those of us, and I don't speak for everybody, but I know I'm speaking for a lot of people, though. Those of us who voted for the president and who joined me in my triple chant at all times, thank God he won, thank God he won, thank God he won, which we will be saying again, God willing, on the morning of the 4th of November, I'm happier than I've been in my life. And everybody, hey, what about Reagan? God bless Ronald Reagan. God bless him. I loved every, that was, it wasn't my first election. My first election was trying to stop the presidency of Jimmy Carter. Whoops, that didn't work. Voted for Gerald Ford, 1976. And so Reagan was the first president I voted for who won. And it was formative years for me. Reagan was president from when I was, 22 till when I was 30-ish, right? And it's my 20s. And it's also when the talk show thing dropped into my lap. How do you not love that? I've often said, and I think this is aging well, okay? Reagan is my favorite person to ever be president. Trump is my favorite presidency. I may have to attach an asterisk to that. I loved Reagan because of the kind of person he was. I may not need a qualifier. I've never really have needed a qualifier for how I feel about President Trump. I'm so grateful to him. And I need to edit that a little bit. Because Reagan, my favorite, that distinction usually is like Reagan, I love the man and the presidency. President Trump, I love the things that are happening as president. And is there an occasional moment, where you go, oh, Mr. President, oh now. Sure, but whatever. Because I love this presidency, because the things he is doing mean so much to me. I absolutely love him. And I'm a grown-up now. During Reagan, again, I'm 22 till 30. I'm a pup. I'm moist behind the ears. I love Reagan in retrospect. I mean, I loved Reagan at the time, too. But my memory of Reagan is a magnificent memory of a hugely important time in my personal history and in the history of the country. Donald Trump is helping save the country I have grown into my 60s in. I'm 62. He is transforming this country before my eyes so that I can see things happen before I die. And so that my children, and Regina's 28 and Ethan is about to be 17 in a couple of months. What do we all talk about? A better country for our kids than what we grew up in. A better country for our kids than what we grew up in. And what we always want. And for the longest time, it looked like that just was not going to happen. Now I believe it will. Donald Trump is why. May God bless him and his family every day. Thank God he won. Thank God he won. Thank God he won. And may God protect him and his family and give him energy and wisdom and clarity to continue what he is doing for this great nation. Well, I feel better. How y'all doing? I didn't intend for that to run 5 minutes. Okay, so head snapping turn. So this was a part of where things started to go a little weird for Bloomberg last night.
We're releasing them. They'll be out in a few weeks.
The tax returns. The tax return. You got to release your tax. Nobody gives a flip about tax returns.
Fast as I can do it. Remember, I only entered into this race 10 weeks ago. All of my associates here have been at this for a couple of years. And we did
That's
not.
Right. We have engaging with voters. We're getting
let me ask you about something else, Mr. Mayor. Because Mayor Bloomberg, let me ask you about something else.
Time and get it done.
Senator Warren.
Push it with that simple.
I'll let you get in here. But Mayor Bloomberg.
It would save me a lot of money.
Let me ask you about something else. Several former employees have claimed that your company was a hostile workplace for women. When you were confronted about it, you admitted making sexually suggestive remarks, saying, quote, "That's the way I grew up." In a lawsuit in the 1990s, according to the Washington Post, one former female employee alleged that you said, quote, "I would do you in a second."
Whoa.
Should Democrats expect better from their nominee?
Let me say a couple things, and if I can have my full minute and a quarter, thank you.
Okay, here's what he does for that minute and a quarter, and it's fine. I gotta move here. He talks about ways in which women are well treated in his empire and nice things he's done for women, over the years, which is fine. But it also doesn't answer the question, does it?
For women, I am very proud of the fact that about 2 weeks ago we were awarded. We were voted the the best place to work, second best place in America. If that doesn't say something about our employees and how happy they are, I don't know what does.
Senator Warren, you've been critical of Mayor Bloomberg on this issue.
Yes, I have. And I hope you heard what his defense was. I've been nice to some women.
Whoa.
That just doesn't cut it. The mayor has to stand on his record. And what we need to know is exactly what's lurking out there. He has gotten some number of women, dozens, who knows, to sign non-disclosure agreements, both for sexual harassment and for gender discrimination in the workplace. So, Mr. Mayor, are you willing to release all of those women from those non-disclosure agreements so we can hear their side of the story?
We have a very few non-disclosure agreements.
How many is that?
Let me finish.
How many is that?
None of them accuse me of doing anything other than maybe they didn't like the joke I told.
Oh, my God. Must have been some joke. Anyway, so a lot of people are saying Bloomberg's a joke after this tough performance last night. Don't believe it for a minute. I'm not predicting he gets the nomination. I'm just telling you, memories are short. Millions of people did not see the debate last night, and his commercials continue to run everywhere. This race is still wide open. It's 9:51. There were guys she could number. I've had a really good time today. Going back and forth between Steely Dan and the Jay Giles Band. Because Walter Becker of Steely Dan would have turned 70 today. Jay Giles Band namesake Jay Giles would have been 73. Here's a little Angel in Blue from Freeze Frame. Angel in Blue. To take us out tomorrow, Friday show. Holy cow! For producer Rhonda K. Marlin on Twitter at producer Rhonda K. R-O-N-D-A, capital K. Shane Bell, the Shane Bell Band, doing musical things and magnificent things in this studio as well, at Shane Bell Band. And news ace Gordon Griffin on Twitter, at News by Gordon. There we all are. You know me, at Mark Davis. We appreciate you. God bless our country, our troops, our families. God bless Ryan Newman, who walked out of a hospital yesterday. God is good every day. You have a great day. See you in the morning at 7 on 660 AM.